live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, judgment has been reserved in the case of Donegal man John Downey, who is wanted in Northern Ireland on suspicion of involvement in the murder of two soldiers. Gardaí have confirmed that they are treating yesterday afternoon's fire at a barn in Carndonagh as arson. Meanwhile, they are also searching for two suspects who are wanted in connection with an attack on a car in Burnfoot. And the Housing Alliance has made a direct appeal to all newly elected Donegal County Councillors to make social and affordable housing a priority. Those stories to follow on full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a judgment has been reserved in the case of Donegal man John Downey, who is wanted in Northern Ireland on suspicion of involvement in the murder of two soldiers. Mr Downey is appealing against an order by the High Court to extradite him to Belfast. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Police in Northern Ireland sought John Downey's extradition over the murder of two Ulster Defence Regiment soldiers in 1972. Alfred Johnson and James Ames died in a bombing in Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. Mr Downey was previously accused of the murders of four soldiers in the 1982 IRA Hyde Park bombing. He had been due to stand trial for those murders in 2014, but the trial collapsed when it emerged that he received a so-called on-the-runs letter, a clear written assurance from the government that he would not be tried unless new evidence came to light. At the appeal hearing in Dublin yesterday, his lawyer argued that the proposed trial in Belfast was doomed to failure. However, counsel for Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan said there was a degree of unreality to the idea that such on-the-run letters could be relied upon.
Independence for Change candidate TD Claire Daly will take Dublin's third seat in the European Parliament. Outgoing Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan has been eliminated and her 51,000 votes redistributed. This will put Claire Daly ahead of Fianna Fáil's Barry Andrews when the final count is announced. Barry Andrews will take the new fourth Dublin seat, which he can only take up when the UK leaves the EU. He requested a simple recount earlier after the count was suspended last night over concerns about how votes were going to be transferred. Barry Andrews says he wanted the recount for clarity about the new Brexit seat.
The recount, I suppose, is out of an abundance of caution. We want clarity. We want to make sure that a new situation, new legislative situation, is discharged accurately. Nobody wants a cloud hanging over anybody's mandate. So it's better to do it here than to be worrying about it subsequently.
Gardaí in Donegal are appealing for information about a number of incidents over the past number of days. They include an attack on a car in Burnfoot, a daylight break-in in Letterkenny, and a suspected arson attack in Carndonagh yesterday afternoon. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Gardaí have confirmed that they're treating yesterday's fire at a barn in Carndonagh as arson. Emergency services were called to the scene near Pound Street after the alarm was raised just after 1 o'clock. Gardaí believe the fire, which caused extensive damage, was started deliberately, and they're appealing to anyone with information to come forward. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Garda Gráinne Doherty said while the investigation is at an early stage, the building would have been what she called a hangout for younger people, and she urged any witnesses to come forward.
It's believed that the fire was started deliberately, so we're appealing for if anybody's seen anybody in that area from midday onwards hanging around the area, or indeed after 1 p.m. if they've seen anything untoward, if they would contact Buncrana Garda Station on 074-932-0540. Or the Garda Confidential line also on 1-800-666-111.
Staying in Inishowen, Gardaí are searching for two suspects who were wanted in connection with an attack on a car in Burnfoot. The incident happened just after 10 o'clock on last Wednesday night in the townland of Dundrain. A motorist was forced into the hard shoulder by a blue saloon-style car in which two men were travelling. Gardaí say after the ramming, the men got out of their car and attacked the other vehicle.
A car came up behind him, started flashing the lights. The driver off the car was overtaken by the car behind him that had been flashing the lights, and the car collided with his car, forcing him to mount the hard shoulder of the road. Two male occupants then got out of the car. They used hurley sticks to smash the windscreen and the side windows off the car. These two men then got back into their car. Their car has been described as a blue saloon style car, and left the area. So if anybody, again, was in the Dundrain area, that happened. It wasn't that long after. It was about 10:30 Wednesday night. If anybody was in that area and witnessed this incident or seen a blue saloon-style car with two males in that area at the time, had an oncoming car being coming towards them, you know, it could have resulted in a more serious collision also, you know, very frightening incident for the people involved.
Meanwhile, in Letterkenny, Gardaí are investigating a break-in in West Hill, where a house was broken into in broad daylight and ransacked. It happened last Saturday afternoon between 3 and 8:30. Gardaí Grainne Doherty says the intruders got in through a rear door, and she says that's becoming an ever more common way of gaining entry into properties.
The rear door, again, it's quite common recent times. Burglaries, always the rear door they seem to go to. The rear door was forced open and entry gained and the house was totally ransacked. We're unsure at present as to exactly what property was stolen from the house, because one of the occupants of the house is away this week. We, you know, we'll have more information on that next week, and possibly photographs to put on Facebook of any items that were stolen to see if anybody notices them being circulated. If anybody witnessed anything untoward in the West Hill area last Saturday evening, we'd appreciate if they contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 9167100 or the Garda Confidential line.
A report into foster care in the west of the country has found 7 children were not visited within the timeframes set out in the regulations. The area was found to be in major non-compliance with safeguarding and child protection. Sean O'Regan reports.
At the time of the Health Information and Quality Authority inspection, there were 103 children in foster care in the Sligo, Leitrim, West Cavan area. 26 of them were placed with relatives and 77 were placed with general foster carers. While children told Hickwood they were happy in their foster care placements, the area was found to be in major non-compliance with safeguarding and child protection. Before this inspection, 7 children were not visited within the timeframe set out in the regulations. Social workers are responsible for maintaining records of the service provided to children, but inspectors found that some case notes and records of home visits had not been completed. Meanwhile, the area tried to ensure that children were matched with foster carers who had the capacity to meet their needs. However, there was a delay in the long-term approval of placements planned for a duration of 6 months or more. Overall, children who met with or spoke to inspectors felt safe, were happy and were well cared for in their placements.
School secretaries attached to the trade union Forsa are set to ballot for industrial action after what they've described as disappointing discussions at the Department of Education yesterday. A small number of school secretaries are paid directly by the department, but Forsa estimates that 90% are paid through their school's ancillary grant, leaving some with salaries as low as €12,000 a year and with no pension or ancillary benefits. Kathleen O'Doherty has been Forsa's spokesperson on the issue in Donegal for over 10 years, and following a meeting last night, she says enough is enough.
Our representatives of Forsa actually attended the Department of Education in relation to the start of talks. It turns out the department are actually dragging their heels, which is no surprise to us. You know, we're going to ballot for industrial action, and it's going to be when schools reopen after the summer break.
Is there any suggestion that talks will take place over the summer and hopefully a ballot on industrial action can be averted?
The department will need to up their beat a little bit on it. They're dragging their heels in relation to wanting to do a survey and all the rest and the costing. But this has already been done by Forsa. Surveys after survey has been done in relation to how many and what. And the department know this, but this is just their way of delaying tactics again. What's the point in wasting our time, their time? If they can afford to spend another 4 months and having clerical staff paid to do another survey, well, they could put the money in our direction and just ensure all we just want parity and respect. We're not looking for anything else above that.
The reality is that this isn't a new issue. I can't remember when you and I first discussed this, but it was several years ago.
It's several years ago. In fact, last night I had a picture with me that had been taken by the Donegal News Dairy people, and it was June 2008. And it was of those that had attended a meeting in the Radisson where we actually had our meeting last night. And I passed the phone around where there was a at least 55 of those secretaries that were there last night were there in 2008. So they have been patient. We have been patient. The amount of work and time that has gone into this to highlight this unfair system that successive governments have allowed to continue, it's just unfair.
A court in Paris has heard Sophie Toucan-Duplantier told a friend that she was going to meet a guy, a poet, to talk to him about his work before she travelled to Ireland in 1996. 62-year-old Ian Bailey is charged with voluntary homicide. However, he is not attending the hearing. He has always denied any involvement in her death. The court also heard evidence today from a French pathologist. Eamon Torsney reports.
In court today, Agnes Thomas, a friend of Miss Duplantier, said her friend rang her a week before she came to West Cork in 1996 and told her the man she was going to meet was a weird guy. Miss Thomas advised her that she should not meet him if he was weird. Miss Toucan-Duplantier did not name the man she was due to meet. The trial also heard evidence today from French pathologist Dr. Marc Tacon. He carried out an autopsy on Miss Toucan-Duplantier's body following an exhumation in 2008, and he carried out a reconstruction of her skull, which confirmed the findings of Irish pathologist Dr. John Harbison that Miss Toucan-Duplantier died from head injuries inflicted in a violent attack. Miss Toucan-Duplantier's badly beaten body was found near the entrance to her home in Skull in December 1996. Ian Bailey is not attending court and has always denied any involvement in her death.
The Housing Alliance has made a direct appeal to all newly elected Donegal County Councillors to make social and affordable housing a priority. The group is a collaboration of six of Ireland's approved housing bodies, and they are calling for action by local authorities right across the country to tackle the housing shortage. Sean Hannigan is Vice Chair of the Housing Alliance and CEO of Circle Voluntary Housing Association. He says councillors need to put pressure on central government now in a bid to secure an affordable rental model.
We have launched a campaign across the whole of Ireland because we believe that right now there is a need for a new model of housing which incorporates not just social housing and housing for sale on the market like we have, but also a new model for affordable housing.
And indeed, this is an issue, as you say, right across the country. And unfortunately, the government, central government at the moment, doesn't seem to be listening or putting any plans in place to tackle this. So there is a direct need for those locally to make it a bigger issue.
That's right. And it is actually within their gift in many respects to push central government to make a policy change which would enable affordable housing to work right across the country and in areas like Donegal where it's particularly needed. We have a whole range of people who are excluded from housing because they can't afford to buy a house because they can't access mortgage and they don't qualify for social housing. So they're stuck. And they're stuck in hidden places that we would see right across the country. So living at home a lot longer than they would do, surfing couches in friends' houses, or in some cases becoming homeless and living in homeless accommodation in bed and breakfast.
So what do you believe now is the first step for the new county councillors?
Well, one of the first priorities for all county councils is to set the housing priorities for the council going forward for the next term. And one of the things we'd like them to do is to ensure that on a consistent basis that they look at and consider the potential for an affordable rental model, which they haven't been able to do up to now. But the government need to be asked to provide one for all of the different counties so that people who are in desperate housing need can access that housing.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Liverpool jersey.
It's 14 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby and Quinn Roo, Will Addison, Stuart McCluskey and Darren Sweetman. They're among the notable names absent from Joe Smith's training squad for the Rugby World Cup. Roo was involved in all of Ireland's Six Nations game while McCluskey was named in the Pro 14 team of the season. Munster's South African-born lock, Jan Klein, he does make the 44-man panel despite not being eligible until August. Uncapped Munster fullback Mike Healy also gets a nod with Sean O'Brien and Dan Levy. They're confirmed absentees through injury. Smith will trim his squad to 31 players before flying out to Japan in September. Meanwhile, Rob Kearney says there's goals he still wants to achieve following the news of his 9-month contract extension with Leinster. The fullback will remain with the province until the end of next season. Moving on to Gaelic Games, and the GAF confirmed the details of the upcoming All-Ireland Senior Football Championship first round qualifiers. Four of the ties will take place on Saturday, June the 8th. Offaly, they host London and Tullamore at 1:30. Leitrim welcome Wicklow to Carrick and Shannon at 3:00. There's a 4:45 throw-in for Wexford against Derry at Wexford Park. While Drogheda, they host the 7:00 throw-in between Louth and Leitrim. Down in Tipperary, they meet in Newry at 2:00 the following day, with Monaghan against Fermanagh at Clonus at the same time. There's a 3:00 start for Westmeath against Waterford at Cusick Park, while Carlow, they play the losers of this week's replay between Kildare and Longford, also at 3:00. In athletics, the Olympic Federation of Ireland today named a squad of 65 athletes for the second edition of the European Games in Minsk in Belarus next month. There's 4 from Donegal included. The McGee family and Rafoe, they make up the Donegal travelling party. Chloe, Sam and Joshua will travel with cousin Rachel Dara to compete in the badminton discipline. The games, which run from the 21st to the 30th of June, will also double up as qualification for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. Ireland will compete in 9 of the 15 sports, with over 4,000 athletes from 50 countries to feature in Belarus. Moving on to soccer and the EA Sports Holders, EA Cup Sports Holders, Derry City. They have been drawn to face Waterford in the semi-finals of the League Cup. Derry, who defeated Finn Harps in their quarter-final last night, will have home advantage in the tie. In other semi-final league leaders, Dundalk, they host Bohemians. Both ties are to be played on Monday the 5th of August. And there was, as you heard there, back-to-back defeats for Finn Harps at the hands of Derry City in recent days. They lost on Friday 4-0 in the league, then last night 2-1 after extra time on penalties. Harps boss Ollie Horgan was again frustrated with inconsistencies during those games.
It's very difficult for the penalty set up a game on Friday night here where Dave the Park House. We looked at it and looked at it. There was no push whatsoever. I'm after looking for 10 minutes here at Rathcartira's penalty. And to be fair, do the referees see it? I don't know what the referees saw on Friday. But look, I'm sure that powers to be will be critical of me. I've bit my tongue for 7 years, and it's very difficult to be in running a club in the Premier Division and League of Ireland when inconsistency happens. The difficulty is we are also inconsistent on the pitch, and I can't blame anyone for that by ourselves. It's not so much going out of it, it's the fact that we had to go through extra time before we go to Bohemians, and we're a man down on top of the number we're down already. That's the disappointing part of it. Can we blame the officials for that? Probably not. But as I said, the only complaint of the officials is you can kick away all you want in the first 15 minutes of every bloody League of Ireland game we've played, but you see the last 15, you can't lay a glove on some.
Elsewhere, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says Naby Keita won't be fit for the Champions League final. The midfielder is still recovering from a thigh injury he picked up against Barcelona at the semi-final stage. The Reds meet Spurs in Madrid on Saturday. Klopp says Roberto Firmino should make it though.
Was part of training last week, looked really good, everything fine, and then we took him out for again, and we'll be in training, I think, from tomorrow on again. So all what we saw so far looked really good, and he will be fine, I'm pretty sure.
Meanwhile, Spanish police have made several arrests following a complaint from La Liga about a game that was possibly fixed. Current and former players, as well as club officials from the country's top two divisions, have reportedly been detained. It's understood an organised criminal group were involved in influencing what's been believed to be a La Liga 2 match last May. Moving on to boxing, and Katie Taylor believes unifying the lightweight division would be a bigger achievement than winning Olympic gold. The WBO, WBA and IBF champion Taylor faces WBC title holder Delphine Pearson in Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. The brave fighter says it could be the best night of her career.
To become the undisputed champion of the world is the pinnacle of boxing. This would be the biggest night in my career so far. You know, the Olympics in 2012 was absolutely outstanding, but I think this night would even pass that one out as well. So this is definitely the biggest night in my career, and I can't wait for it.
Finally, this evening in tennis, top seed and world number one Naomi Osaka has avoided being the subject of a huge upset at Roland Garros. The reigning US and Australian Open champion lost the first set 6-love and twice had number 90 Anna Karolina Smedlova serving for the match. But Osaka won the second set on a tiebreak before wrapping up the third 6-1. Meanwhile, 2017 women's champion Yelena Ostapenko is already out. She was beaten in straight sets by Victoria Azarenka. And men's fifth seed Alexander Zverev is through to round two, but needed over 4 hours to beat John Millman in five sets. And the eighth seed Juan Martín Del Potro is also through to the second round after a four-set victory over Chile's Nicolas Jarry. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a complaint was made to the Ombudsman for Children's Office after a 15-year-old girl was placed in an adult psychiatric ward. It was just one of 1,622 complaints included in its annual report for 2018, which has been published today. Kim Buckley has more.
The Ombudsman for Children's Office received over 1,600 complaints in 2018, a slight drop from 2017. According to its annual report, 78% of complaints about public services for children were made by parents, followed by professionals and extended family members. Ombudsman for Children Niall Muldoon says most of the complaints related to education.
The top three have always been education, the biggest number of complaints, followed by child and family services, and then health. 42% of children complaining were about education. And again, that's because education has the biggest impact on children's lives.
In one specific case study included in the report, a 15-year-old girl was placed in an adult psychiatric ward. The Ombudsman for Children's Office intervened after a complaint from her parents and she was placed in an adolescent ward. Director of Investigations at the Ombudsman for Children, Nuala Ward, says people shouldn't be afraid to speak up.
Don't be fearful. A lot of public services want to make things right and you can improve things not only for your own child but for other children.
Later this year, the OCO will publish a 3-year strategic plan to ensure that children from all backgrounds and abilities are provided with supports and services that they deserve and are entitled to.
And finally, cannabis is the most common illegal drug detected in drivers. 1,200 people were caught driving under the influence of the drug last year. Cocaine was the second most common drug detected, with over 500 people arrested. Chief Executive of the RSA, Moya Murdoch, says some people wrongly think drugs won't affect their ability to drive.
We are seeing it increasing on the roads and we've got the message out there about drink driving. We really need to get home the message about drug driving. It is just as impairing and it will be detected if you are stopped by the guard.
For weather now, staying dry for the rest of the day with some bright or sunny spells in light winds. It will be mostly dry tonight with cloud gradually increasing from the west. Lowest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees and light or moderate southeasterly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, judgment has been reserved in the case of Donegal man John Downey, who is wanted in Northern Ireland on suspicion of involvement in the murder of two soldiers. Mr Downey is appealing against an order by the High Court to extradite him to Belfast. Gardaí and Donegal are appealing for information about a number of incidents over the past couple of days. They include an attack on a car in Burnfoot, a daylight break-in in Letterkenny, and a suspected arson attack in Carndonagh yesterday afternoon. The Housing Alliance has made a direct appeal to all newly elected Donegal County Councillors to make social and affordable housing a priority. The group is a collaboration of six of Ireland's approved housing bodies and they are calling for action by local authorities right across the country to tackle the housing shortage. And school secretaries attached to the trade union force are set to ballot for industrial action after what they've described as disappointing discussions at the Department of Education yesterday. A small number of school secretaries are paid directly by the department, but FORSA estimates that 90% are paid through their school's ancillary grant. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The original notices for this Tuesday evening, the 28th of May. The death has taken place in Castleblaney, County Monaghan, of Sally Irwin, née McGonagall, formerly of Urris Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her home in Conabury, Castleblaney. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Castleblaney, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of John Lafferty, Knockafoher, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Anne Doherty, Glen Keane, Ballyloskey Road, Carndonna, formerly of Cornley, Mean Glass, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Carndonna Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Ellen Nelly Doherty, Calhame, 12 Evesh Road, Strabane, and formerly Keenahan, 20 Silverhill Road, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for Requiem Mass in St Joseph's Church, Glenmornan, at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Jean Conaghan, Monfad, Newton Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Catherine McCreary, Altna Paste, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service at 2 o'clock in St John's Church, Kilty Vogue, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Stranorlar Church of Ireland graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Barnes View Patients Comfort Fund, St Joseph's Hospital, Stranorlar, care of any family member.